Okay, so welcome to Victory. Who hasn't ever done a Victory series? Not just this year, any year we've done it before. Anyone? Never done it. So everybody has done. Oh, you've never. Okay. Okay, we have about four. You look unsure. You're not. You look like you're still thinking about it. Okay. So before we get into Victory Weekend, I want you to turn to someone next to you and tell them something extraordinary that happened to you this past week. I know. You got to think about it, right? Not just, oh, I had a nice week. Something extraordinary. Okay. They look like some really animated stories. Anything that was like, I have to share that. Who thinks they had the best thing happen to them this past week? Okay, he pointed you out. I can't help it. So tell us, what was something special that happened to you? He got lasagna for free. That counts. Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to tell you. Mine wasn't this past week. It was the week before that. I was at the Rosebank Mall, and my hairdresser's house. Going to see my hairdresser, and before I went, I was like, oh, let me grab a coffee. And if you've been to Rosebank, you know that the Woolies has a takeaway coffee thing on the side, and it's like 5 o'clock, and everyone's like tired, you're headed home. And I thought there was this guy who was in front of me, so I said to him, no, you can go first. He's like, no, you're sure? I'm like, no, it's fine. I don't mind waiting. And then he takes his order, and then I take my order as well. And then he's like, no, I'll pay for her. And I'm like, I think it's important that I say it was a black guy, because apparently black guys don't do this. And I was like, no, it's fine. Like, I had my wallet out, and I said, no, it's okay. I'm like, maybe he thinks I'm poor, I can't pay for coffee, $24. I'm like, no, it's fine. He's like, no, I want to buy you a coffee. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, why? He's like, no, I'm going back to work, and I'm having a bad day, so I just want to buy you coffee. I'm like, oh, thanks. And I got my coffee, and I said goodbye. And I was like, he wasn't hitting on me. Important point to note as well, because maybe it's like a line. This is what he does. Let me buy you a coffee, and then... It just gave me such hope that they're actually nice people out there, right? So now I have to pay it forward. So anyone who wants a coffee can come see me after this. Yeah. Right? Okay. So Victory Weekend, if you haven't been here, this is our third week in the series. Please like our Facebook page because all the stuff we talk about goes on there. In case you missed something, in case you don't have an accountability partner, which we did last week, please make sure you find someone today because it's important. So here we go. Nice, hey? I really like that trick. I think it's very cool. I don't play the game. I wish I could. I wish I did. Because it feels like there's something there, like the excitement. Anyway, so welcome to Call to Victory. In our first week, we looked at preparing for victory. What are the things you need as someone who needs to live a victorious life? What are those things that you think, step one, step two, step three? Last week, we looked at transformation, and it was really nice listening to Mark tell us his stories about when he was a soldier. I think it's just so cool to hear how you had a gun and you like at the battle lines. It's not a movie, guys. This is real life. People do this for real. And one of the things he talked about was the transformation, how you go from being a regular just after your teens, being trained to be a soldier. And we looked at the three types of change that happen: conforming, reforming, and transforming. And there are three agents to change: truth, spirit, mind. Is there anyone who wasn't here last week? You guys weren't here. Okay, cool. So there's a booklet that we have that was from last week. I don't know if we still have a couple of extra. If you didn't get one, please make sure you get one so that you can work through the book with us and sort of catch up. So today we're looking at the cross, right? What does victory have to do with the cross? I'm assuming because you guys come to church, you know what the cross means. So turn to the person next to you and share, what does the cross mean to you? It's not an exam. There's not like a right answer. So whatever comes to your mind, you can say it. Anyone want to share what they said? What does the cross mean to you? Before I call out names, because I know your names. Danielle is like, don't call me. I can see you looking at me. What does the cross mean to you guys? Even in one word. Yes. Sacrifice and sign of hope. Very nice answers. Uh-huh. They're like the youngest. That's why I was like, that's deep. Anyone else? What does the cross mean to you? Wow. The bridge that God has made for us to be with him or to get to him. Anyone else? CJ? salvation, redemption, and deliverance. I'm like, I don't know why I'm here. I should just let you guys do this sermon. You don't need me. Those are really interesting answers, guys, and I'm glad you sort of brought, because I'm going to talk about some of that stuff, and we're going to look at what all of that salvation, redemption, what does that have to do with victory? How many of you have watched this movie, Saving Private Ryan? Anybody? Yes? No? Other than the grown-ups? They're the only ones who put up their hands. Okay, for those of you who haven't watched the film, let me let you watch the trailer so I don't give it all away. If you haven't seen that movie, I encourage you to see it. I know a lot of people, I don't like war movies, I just think they're dark, but I really like the story of the soldiers and just how close they are. And the story in this film is about a guy called Private Ryan. And Private Ryan is one of four brothers. His three brothers have been killed in the war, and his mom has received a telegram about all of them dying. And so because the army doesn't want her to receive a fourth telegram to say, your other son has died, they send these guys out to go find him. And they're like, they have a mission. And it's a team of eight guys, and their mission is to go back into this fighting zone to find this one guy. How do you find one soldier among like thousands of soldiers? So it's quite a tall task. But these guys even sacrifice their lives in the process of trying to find him, in the process of trying to achieve their mission. But they're so dedicated to just being on to doing what they've been called to do. Because as a soldier, like Mark was telling us last week, that you have a mission, whether it's to defend the people you're with or to defend the land you're on or to defend your country. And these guys had a mission. And there's something very unique about the way soldiers work, the way they work together as a team. And I remember Mark also mentioned, he was like, he had a team of four guys, or was it five guys in your unit, seven guys in your unit. And your one mission is to protect each other. If one man goes down, like you don't leave him behind. You never leave a man behind. And the unique thing about this story is when you watch the film, is Private Ryan actually does come back. They actually did rescue him, despite the fact that they lost a team member and all that. They did fulfill their mission. And the thing that fascinates me about the cross is that Jesus had a mission when he came to this earth, that God sent him on a very specific purpose. The book of Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So he came to earth, walked like you and I as a human being, but he had one purpose and one purpose only, and that purpose was to die. I just want to show you, I just want to read you the same verse. It's a different version. This is from The Message, and it says, "Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God." It's so fascinating for me that when he died on the cross, it was for everything past, present, and future. So think about a sin that you did 2 weeks ago. Think about something you think you might do in a month. Already done, forgiven. Just like that blows my mind. I don't know about you, but every time I think about even sins that I don't know that I'm about to commit, done, covered. Like that's why he died on the cross. And so there's a couple of things that happened when Jesus went on the cross. And it's amazing when you read the New Testament, you understand his journey. And he was a young guy. He was, what, 30, 33 years old? His ministry was three years long. But when you read about how he became this person and how he interacted with people, his journey wasn't easy. Being Jesus wasn't an easy thing. There's those who loved him and who followed him everywhere, but at the same time, he had enemies. Take a look at this. Every time I watch any Jesus film, any scene of that experience, I'm completely floored, because I'm like, how does someone do that? How does a human being choose to go through that much pain? I mean, why? And more so, the Son of God, he could have just like snapped his fingers and gone to heaven, you know? There were choices. He could have chosen not to do that. But Because of his love, he chose to suffer. He was wounded for our rebellious acts. He was crushed for our sins. So the things that you and I have done, he went on that cross to suffer on our behalf so that you and I don't have to do that. He took it upon himself to be the substitute. God made him who had no sin. Remember, Jesus, like God, had no sin at all. But just so that he might become the, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So he took that place so that when God looks at you and I, he doesn't see sin, he sees righteousness. Because Jesus stands in that place. Because he died on the cross. But the other thing he also did is he died to give us salvation. The cross signifies salvation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the sinners are you and I, who are not deserving of salvation. But what he did on the cross, how he suffered, was the reason why you and I can be free. So how should we respond? Knowing all this, knowing that he sacrificed his own life, knowing that he could have chosen otherwise, how do we respond? The first thing is we repent of all our sin. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." You know when you've done wrong. You have that. There's this feeling, there's this thing that bugs you. For like 2 weeks I've been struggling with, you know when you've just done something and you're like, "Ish, God, just give me a moment to just feel bad because that was really bad." And then the second week you're like, "But have you really forgiven me? I still, like, I have the memory of it." And literally for 2 weeks I've been struggling with these two specific things. And then last Sunday Mark asked me to do the message. I was like, cool. And as I was doing this message, I'm like, I mean, really? But he died. Are you for real? Are you going to like carry this thing around? And the whole point of the cross is so that you don't feel like that. So that you don't sit there and carry the shame and condemnation of your sin. Because that scene on the cross, that's what he did. He did all of that so that I say, "Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, and I want to do this better." And like that, he even forgets it. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, that's what he's done with our sins. He separated us from them. We are the ones who actually remind him. We're just like, "Oh, Lord, I'm still feeling..." He's moved on days ago. You're still there like, "Oh, my God, no." So the reason why, and like the image of the cross for me each time, and I try not to watch it because I want to live in that sorrow, in that, "Oh, my God, Lord, but you suffered." But no, the point is what comes after. And so when we repent, we receive forgiveness for our sin. People who believe in Jesus receive forgiveness for their sins through him. That's what the cross does. The cross allows for you to receive forgiveness because the feeling that you deserve punishment, you know, like when you've done something wrong to someone and you're like, "Oh my God, I know I deserve this anger they're giving me. I totally deserve that. You're screaming at me because I know I did something wrong." You don't deserve that because he already did it on the cross. And that's what forgiveness for sin is, receiving that forgiveness and also forgiving yourself, because sometimes it's not just receiving forgiveness from God, it's we are beating ourselves up. But you are not supposed to do that because Christ has already taken it all. And then we need to remember the price that he paid. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. He paid that price for you and I. He was thinking about you even before you were born, even before you knew it was possible for you to commit a sin. Done thousands of years ago. Sometimes I'm like Thomas, but not like I believe Jesus died and everything, but in the way I act and respond in life, it's like I'm not free. It's like Jesus didn't die on the cross and give me freedom. And sometimes we're like that. We forget that in the way we express our Christianity and how we live our lives with fear and all the things, all the challenges we face, we forget that we have a Savior who died to give us freedom, which means I don't have to agonize over my sin. I don't have to struggle with fear because I've been empowered through the cross. And that's what the cross does. Making that choice to repent and to accept God's forgiveness allows you to live free from condemnation from others or from yourself. And I like what the book of Romans says when it talks about how we were deserving of God's wrath because of our sin. We were deserving of severe punishment, for lack of a better description. But Jesus chooses to take that position. So just imagine the sins of the entire world And I like movies because movies are just so descriptive when they're giving a message. And when you watch that movie and just the suffering he goes through, you really try and put yourself in that position. If that was you, when you're deserving of God's wrath, and then here comes someone who chooses to do it for you so that you don't have to do it, so that you can live free. He paid a very high price just so that you can have peace, just so that you can live free. Isn't that amazing? I just think, like, for me, every time I read that message, it blows my mind away because I'm reminded I honestly don't have to stress, honestly, because there's someone who's already done it for me. And that then frees me to live the life that he's called me to. And so how do we respond? If you've never met Jesus before, if perhaps this is the first time you've heard of this message and you're considering, maybe I'm that person who needs to make that choice. Maybe I'm that person who's never said, Jesus, forgive me and come into my life. I'm going to ask us all to stand now, close our eyes and stand up. Stand up and close your eyes in whichever order. And with our heads bowed, I just want us to consider for a moment where you're at in your life and the choices that you've made. And maybe you've heard this message before, but you've never responded to it. Maybe you know people who've said this to you, and you've just thought, no, maybe that's not for me. And with every eye closed in the room and every head bowed, I just want to ask if there's anyone here. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, you've never taken the call of salvation, this is your opportunity to make that choice so that you can live a life free of sin, free of condemnation. You don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to feel that your life is doomed, like you're going, you don't know where you're going. You want to make the choice to live eternity with Christ, both here on earth and in heaven when you die. If that is you, if you want to make that choice, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand up so that I can pray for you. You can lift it right up and bring it back down. Thank you for that hand. Is anyone else? Maybe you've actually prayed this prayer before. Maybe you've said, I want to walk right. But then somewhere along the way, you lost track and you feel, Lord, I haven't been doing it right. I haven't been honoring you in my life. I haven't lived a life that you would be proud of. And maybe you're just feeling like you're sitting on the fence. You're not clearly on Jesus' side. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up as well so we can pray with you. If you're unsure of your salvation, if you're unsure, if Jesus came now, if the rapture happened now, you're not sure where you're going to go, I ask you to raise your hand up as well, and then I'll pray for you. Thank you. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross. Thank you that you sent your one and only Son to take upon himself the sin of the world, just so that we may live free. Father, we confess that we have sinned, and we ask you now that, Lord, you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We make the choice now, accepting your forgiveness, to live a life that honors you. Thank you for what you did on the cross when you sent your Son, and thank you for that forgiveness, Lord. And we ask now that, Father, you would help us live a life that honors you, live a life that's free of sin, to live a life of obedience towards you, Lord. Father, come into our hearts. Live and reign in our hearts on the kingdom, in that throne, as the Lord of our lives. Father, we pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would enable us to be better, to do good, and most of all, to obey your word. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you that through the cross, you displayed your love for us, unending and unconditional, regardless of what we did, what we are doing, and what we're going to do. We thank you for your love and for that forgiveness that comes through the cross. In Jesus' name I prayed. Amen. If you pray that, anyone who prayed that prayer, I just want to ask you to go to the kitchen, follow Debbie through the doors, please, and everybody else can take a seat. Thank you very much. 1 Peter says, Christ carried our sins in his body on the cross so that free from our sins, we could live a life that has God's approval, a life that has that rubber stamp that you are his, unashamed. without any shame, you can proclaim, I am a child of God, and no one's going to judge you for that. So last week we appointed, well, we didn't appoint, you guys got to choose your own accountability partners. And whose partner is here? Does everyone have a partner? Let's see, who doesn't have a partner? Anyone who doesn't have a partner? You don't have a partner, do you? Okay. So if you don't have a partner, let us know. We just want you to go into pairs, and we're going to work through these questions that have to do with assurance of salvation. So getting to your pairs of two, and go. Like now. Can it be three? Yeah, that's fine. But just make sure you have a partner. Do you want to join Sean and them at the back there? So at least you're not on your own. Okay, the two of you. You guys can be the three of you. Cool. Everyone sorted. And the questions you're just going to go through is, are you saved? Are you sure? How do you know? What difference does it make? Mario is just passing around a copy of the Engage book, which I think some of you remember as the Encounter book. It used to be a green book. It's still the same book. We've just upgraded the cover. I'm going to ask you, even if you've done this before, I'm going to ask you to do it again. Something I try to do in my life, it's probably every 2 years or so, is assurance of salvation. And that's what this book is about. This book is about, why am I saved? And what is it? How do I know? It's those four questions that you just did. It's like, what evidence is there? Because when someone walks up to you and asks you, what makes you so different? It's like, Mark likes a cappuccino, I like a cafe latte, Sean likes an Americano, so what? You know? One guy is a Catholic, another is an Anglican. Like, you know, what's the difference? It's just choice, right? But you need to be able to say, I like a cafe latte because there's more milk in it and the coffee's just subtle enough for me to just, like that. So that's what the Engage book does. The Engage book basically explains to you why you've made the choice. What does the choice mean? Okay, what happened to you? Can I be sure of my salvation? And after you receive Christ, then what? And then reading what God has written, and the Word of God is really important in our Christian walk. The moments when I've stopped doing my quiet time, when I've stopped reading the Word of God, there's a serious change in my life. Like all of a sudden I start getting angry at people, I'm snappy, I'm like, what's going on? I'm not this person. The Word of God grounds you, and it reminds you who you are in Christ, and what he's called you to. I promise you, you're laughing. When you get older, it's just like, oh, yeah, it's okay. Like, we're kind of all right, yeah? You have your choices, I have mine. It's actually harder to be a Christian the older you get, because we all settle into our, this is my way of life, and everyone justifies their choices. But how do you stand out? When you stand next to someone else, how are they going to know she's a believer and she's not? Being grounded in the Word of God makes it part of you, that every time you open your mouth, every time someone experiences and asks, oh, CK, will you do this? They already know what you're going to say, because they know you're that kind of person. You're the kind of person who serves Jesus and will not compromise. And so it's important for you to get into the habit now, because I did this when I was your age. And now it's easy for me to just say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not me. And I don't feel, I'm not sitting on the fence about it, because I'm absolutely sure of why I've made that choice. Because I follow Christ and I know where I want to go. And it's all about Jesus at the end of the day. So I encourage you, please do the book. Keep it, hide it somewhere, and then next year pick it up and do it again. But work through it. If you don't want to do it alone, find someone. Come find me. I'll do it with you. We can have coffee and go sit somewhere. CJ is smiling because I know she's going to come find me. But I encourage you guys. And once you've done it, it makes it easier for you to share the gospel with someone else, because then you know what you're about. Great? Great. Okay. Mario has asked if he can pray, so I'm going to ask Mario to come and close for us in prayer. But you asked.
That's not true. Let me just ask, how many of you find that you kind of know the difference between right and wrong, and sometimes you know what the right thing is to do in a situation, and you want to do it, but you struggle to do it, and you end up not doing it? Who's ever had that experience?
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody. And, you know, the Bible speaks about that, and Paul writes about that, and he says, I know what I want to do, but I don't do it, and that's the result of sin. And before the cross, before we accept what God has done in Jesus, we're kind of dead in sin, We can't overcome that struggle. Now, we always are going to give in to that. But once we accept the sacrifice of the cross, we become dead to sin. And it's a subtle difference, but it's a massive difference. Because when you're dead in sin, you don't have the power to overcome it. But when you're dead to sin, you have the power to overcome it. And you might still mess up, and we all do still mess up. But as CK has said, we are there. We are now the righteousness of God. So what I would like before I pray is, if you're saying, if you kind of just, for us to commit or recommit to saying, God, I'm making a commitment to pursuing righteousness and holiness and to living a life that's dead to sin. The Bible says that it's for freedom that Jesus has set us free. We just shouldn't use that freedom as an opportunity to continue sinning, to continue doing those things we know we shouldn't do. So for 30 seconds, think about it. And if you're saying this morning, I'm recommitting to that, I'm just making a stand again to say, I'm going to live a life that's dead to sin and that is the freedom of God, then I'd like you to stand up just as a kind of acknowledgement to yourself and to God of that statement or that declaration. Okay, let's pray. Father God, thank you for speaking to us this morning about the cross, about the sacrifice of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your life and example, and that you made a way for us to be free of our sin, to no longer walk in it, God, but to walk and to live in your freedom. Pray, God, for every person standing today who said, I'm committing to living a life that is dead to sin. I'm committing to living a life that is in the freedom of Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of these young people, God, and that you'd help them to live lives that bring glory to you, that are characterized by righteousness and holiness. For those who are not standing, Lord, you know exactly where they are at in their lives, Lord God. And I pray that you'd speak to their hearts and speak to their minds, oh God, that you'd help them, Lord God, with whatever it is they're facing in their lives, Lord God. Help each and every one of us, Lord, to be honest with ourselves, to be honest with you about where we're at in life, Lord God. And help us to trust you and to walk with you and to pursue a life, oh God, that brings you glory. Pray you could be with us this week, Lord God, in our studies, in our homes. Help us to honor and glorify you in what we say and in what we do. And may you be honored and glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. So next week, we are going to be looking at Mission 4, which is about identity. So now that you've accepted Christ, what is your identity? What does it mean to be a child of God? So please come. And most importantly, you have to come on Friday, guys. Like, the next series is going to be so exciting. Take it from someone who just loves this youth so much and wishes I was a teenager again. Actually not. But you must come. Tell your parents now that Friday is a must. We're going to be watching the movie, right? Yeah. So you don't want to miss it. Yeah? CJ's like, yeah, movie. Okay. Thanks, guys. Have a good week. Bye.